Let me invite you this morning to take your Bible, please, and open with me again to the book of Psalms and the 139th Psalm, what we read this morning for our scripture reading, Psalm 139. Maud Royden made this statement: when you have nothing left but God, then you become aware that God is enough. When you have nothing left but God, you become aware that God is enough. This morning I want to come to the 139th Psalm, and I want to discover together that in God we have more than enough. For in God we find one who is sufficient for all of our needs. This morning's message I've entitled this way: the all-fullness of our God. Our God is a God who is able to supply and meet our every need. There is nothing that He cannot do. When we have God, and nothing but God, we have more than enough in this world to be able to know the joy and blessing that He desires for us. I want you to bow together with me in a word of prayer, and then we're going to consider together the passage of Scripture and this wonderful truth. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that we can come and gather together with a purpose, that we might learn of You from Thy Word. We thank You, Father, that when we come to the point in life when we have nothing but You, we realize that we have more than enough. Our God is more than enough, and we thank You for that. We thank You, Lord, that we can rest in You and trust in You. We can wait upon You. We thank You, Lord, that we can do those things because we know and we believe that great is the faithfulness of our God, even as we studied of late in the book of Lamentations. So, Father, we ask and pray that You would help us this morning as we come to the 139th Psalm, as we consider our God who is full of greatness and power and wisdom and might. So, Lord, we ask and pray that You would teach us from Thy Word today. We'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Life has an interesting way of showing us that we are not able in and of ourselves to provide for all that we have need of. Life has a way of basically showing us that we do not have within ourselves all that we need. God has made you and I to be a people dependent and dependent upon Him. Now, I know that we like to think of ourselves as self-sufficient people. We like to think of ourselves as being able to meet all of our needs in every way and needing to rely on no one else but ourselves. But the reality is that God has created you and I as a people dependent upon Him. You and I do not possess within ourselves all that we need. You and I do not possess within ourselves the answers for all the problems that we will face. You and I do not possess within ourselves the strength to meet every need. We are dependent upon the Lord, and He is able to meet all of our needs, for He is able to do all things. And the faster that you and I come to that realization that we are in need of Him, the better off you and I will be spiritually. When we come to Psalm 139, David lays before us three attributes of God. And in those attributes, he gives to us the greatness and the all-fullness of our God, that our God is able to do all things. These attributes that were considered this morning are often referred to as incommunicable, or attributes that only God Himself possesses. And as we look at these and see these again this morning, we're going to realize that these attributes really set God apart from all other beings. Lewis Berry Schaeffer made this observation concerning the attributes of God when he said, "In recognizing attributes of God, man is attempting to describe qualities which distinguish God from other beings. Though man, in his finite limitations, can never completely define God, the sum of his attributes, as revealed in Scripture, does help to distinguish God from other beings and to assign him the unique place of being the true God. How wonderful it is that we can come to the Word of God and find those things which set him apart, which remind us of the fact that he alone is able to meet all of our needs. We are not capable of doing that within ourselves. We are a people dependent upon another, and we must learn that our dependence is upon God. As we understand these attributes this morning, I trust that we will learn fully to depend upon him, for only God is able to do all things, and only God is able to do all things perfectly. I want you to look with me at the first six verses of Psalm 139. We'll discover that first attribute of God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto him. David, here writing in Psalm 139, begins by considering and by meditating upon the omniscience of God. Our God is a God full of all knowledge. When we use that term omniscience, it describes one God who knows all things. There is nothing that God does not know, and he does not know perfectly. And David understood that God knew everything about his life. He understood that God knew when David would sit down, when David would rise up. He understood the very thoughts that were in his mind. He understood all of his ways and every word that comes out of his mouth. Beloved, there is not a thing within your life and my life that God does not know about you. There is nothing that you are facing and nothing that you are going through that God alone does not have knowledge of. There is nothing that takes place in this world that is a surprise to Almighty God. He knows all things. He alone is omniscient. David says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me, thou hast known me." What a blessed truth to know that our God knows us perfectly. He knows everything there is about us. He knows when we sit down and when we rise up. He understands all of our thoughts, even afar off. He has compassed our path, our lying down. He is acquainted with all of our ways. Not a word that we speak is unknown to the Lord. No wonder why David would say, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Our God knows all things. When we speak of the omniscience of God, we understand that there is nothing he does not know. Nothing that he does not know perfectly. He knows all things actual. He knows all things possible. He knows the past. He knows our present. And he knows our future. God knows everything about you and me. Henry Thiessen, in his Systematic Theology, said this about the omniscience of God. God knows himself and all things perfectly from all eternity, whether actual or merely possible, whether they be past, present, or future. He knows them immediately, simultaneously, exhaustively, and truly. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, said this about God's omniscience. God knows instantly and I can't even say it. Effortlessly, there it is, all matter in all matters, all mind in every mind, all spirit in all spirits, all being in every being, all creaturehood and all creatures, every plurality in all pluralities, all law in every law, all relations, all causes, all thoughts, all mysteries, all enigmas, all feelings, all desires, every unuttered secret, all thrones and dominions, all personalities, all things visible and invisible in heaven and in earth, motion, space, time, life, death, good, evil, heaven and hell. And that's not even an exhaustive list. Folks, God knows all things. He alone is omniscient. He is full of knowledge. A.W. Tozer goes on and says, because God knows all things perfectly, He knows no thing better than any other things, but all things equally well. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised, never amazed. He never wonders about anything, nor, except when drawing men out for their own good, does he seek information or ask questions. Our God is a God who knows all things, omniscience. Again, David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I want you to consider something with me this morning. How many things are there in this world that you do not understand? How many things are there in this world that you cannot comprehend? Have you ever lacked wisdom? There is much in this world that you and I cannot comprehend. Man is constantly discovering new things. We do not know it all. Now, I know some of us like to proclaim that we know it all, but we do not know it all. We have a limited knowledge, but God knows everything. Visible and invisible, it is known to Him. Uttered or unuttered, He knows every word and every thought of every man. He knows right now what you are thinking upon, what you are meditating upon, whether or not you're giving attention or whether or not you are planning this week's events. He knows what you're doing at this very moment. And He knows what you're planning to do in days ahead. Our God knows all things. He is omniscient. There are still many things that to us are a marvel. There are many things that we still wonder about. Consider Solomon. The Bible says that Solomon was one of the wisest men upon the earth. I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter 30 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Many times when we are in need of some wisdom, we will turn and we will read through the book of Proverbs because we find wonderful nuggets of truth and wisdom. Solomon, as wise as he was, still there were things that he marveled at. There were still things that he had a hard time comprehending. Proverbs 30, look at verse 18 and 19. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of the man with a maid. Understand what he said? There are four things I really just don't comprehend. I marvel at. I wonder at how God has made these things to be so. You and I cannot perfectly understand all things. There are things that we will struggle with. There are things we cannot comprehend. There are things that we do not know. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we serve a God who knows all things well. And when our days are full of doubt and questions and wonder, remember there is one who knows all. And we ought to rest in the all fullness of His knowledge. David says, Lord, Thou hast searched me. Thou hast known me. There is nothing You don't understand. How wonderful is that knowledge for you and me. Folks, we serve a wonderful God who knows all things. I want you to look at verse 7 down through verse 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. David next considers the omnipresence of God. And as we consider the fact of the omnipresence of God, we understand that God is everywhere present at the same time. There is no place and no time that God is not present. Dr. A.H. Strong in his theology defines omnipresence this way: God in totality of his essence, without diffusion or expansion, multiplication or division, penetrates and fills the universe in all its parts. In verses 7 through 12, David says that there is no place that he could go and not find the Lord there. There is no place that he could go and hide from God. In verse 7, he asks the question, where can I go that his spirit is not there? Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Where can I escape the very presence of God? Every place that we go, God is there. There is no place that God cannot be found. We cannot hide from him. Our God is present everywhere. David knew that there was no place to go. He expounds in the following verses. He says, in heaven or hell, God is there. If I am buried in the depths of the sea, God is still there. If I am covered in the blackness of darkness, still God sees me, for he is there. The darkness becomes as light. He sees and he knows all things. He is ever present with me. Folks, our God is not limited by space. He is not undaunted by speed. He is not affected by darkness. He is everywhere present with you and me. That's a wonderful truth, is it not? But you know, as I consider that truth, I'm reminded that I really will have one of two responses to it, and I should have one of two responses to it. Number one, I ought to be warned. There's no place that I can hide from the Lord, because nothing is hid from him. Why don't you turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, we often refer to verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now look at verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Beloved, there is nothing that God does not know nor see, for he is ever present with us. Sometimes we foolishly think that no one sees or no one knows. Sometimes we begin to think that, well, nobody sees, especially what's going on within my own mind and my heart. That's a private place for me. We live in a world today that loves to relish in privacy. It is one of the biggest issues within our culture. It is all about your privacy. Privacy, privacy, privacy. Every company has to have a privacy statement. You know, the reality is, there is no privacy with God, because he knows everything about you. He is always there with you. There is no place that you can go and you can hide from God. There is nothing that you do that he does not see. Oh, you might be able to fool others around you. You may be able to come to church and you can put on the front and you know how to carry the Bible and you know how to dress and you know things to say. But in the privacy of your home, you're a completely different kind of person. God sees that. God knows that. God knows the difference between your Sunday actions and your Saturday actions. God knows the difference with the way you are at church, with the way that you are at home, and the way you are at work. There's nothing that He does not see, for God is ever present with us. He sees all things. Nothing is hid from His sight. Let that be a warning to you and I. But you know, I also find to that great comfort. Because the Bible tells me in Psalm 46 and verse 1 that He is a refuge to us, a very present help in time of need. There is never a time that God is not there for us. When distresses come upon us and it seems to overwhelm us, that we might even drown in the seas of trouble, let's not forget that God is there. Turn over in your Bible, if you would, to Isaiah 43, and I want you to look at verse 2 with me. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. The prophet Isaiah reminds us of this thought: when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, the troubles of life seem to surround you and as if you're going to drown. Don't ever forget that God is there. This past week, I sat and I was talking with Ray and Ethel. And as we talked about the issues of Ray's prognosis, and at that time, it really wasn't all that good. There wasn't a whole lot of hope. I remember sitting talking to them and listening to them and the peace that they had. Being able to put their lives in the hands of Almighty God, and whatever God would do, that they would be content. I remember Ethel made the comment, I don't mean to embarrass her this morning, but the reality is this. She said to me, "Pastor, I don't know, I haven't really shed a tear yet for this, and some might think that's strange." And I said, "Ethel, I don't think it's strange. I think that's what the Bible calls a peace that passes all understanding." Why? Because God is there. In the midst of trial, in the midst of trouble, in the days in which our heart begins to hurt and ache, God is there. What a comfort to know that He is ever present with you and me. We don't go through this life alone. We're not traveling this journey with no one around us, no one to support us, and no one to help us. Folks, even when all we have is God, there we learn we have enough. For God is more than enough. He is full of all knowledge and He is ever present with us. And we need to learn to rejoice and trust and look to Him who is omniscient and omnipresent. But David goes on because there's more. He also tells us that He's omnipotent. Look at verse 13 and following. "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they were more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." David speaks of the omnipotence of God. And as he does so, he reminds us that our God is able to do all things, for He is all powerful. He is able to do what He wills. And in this passage, David relates that to the very creation of man. It is God who made us. And David said about that, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And folks, we are. truly to understand that God has made us, that it is He that has given us life, is a fearful and a wonderful thing. May I remind you, though, that not only did God give you life, He is the one who also keeps you. Colossians 1, verse 17 says that all things not only were made by Him, but by Him all things still now consist. This world continues because God sustains it all. You're here today because God continues to give you life today. He is the one who made you. He is the one who keeps you. He holds all things together in the palm of His hand. I want you to turn over, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. I want you to look with me beginning in verse 10. And this wonderful reminder of the omnipotence of God. I want you to look beginning with me in verse 10. I want you to follow along. I'm going to read down through verse 26. And as I do so, I want you to see the all fullness of God's power, His omnipotence. Isaiah writes, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are young." I want you to stop there for a moment. A God who is all-powerful and able to do all things, who created heaven and earth by His spoken word, is also a God of great gentleness towards His own. In power there is still His gentleness towards us. Verse 12. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh of the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh to him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heaven as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. They shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken Me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth." No wonder why Isaiah would then say in verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Our God is great in power. He is able to do all things. And yet still, How often do we question God's ability? How often do we doubt and wonder at His power? There are still some today who believe that there is a God who is limited in power. And so they ask, are there limits to God's power? Well, the surprising answer is yes. There are two things that God is limited by. He is limited by His own nature. The Bible tells us in Habakkuk 1:13 that God cannot look upon iniquity, for He is holy. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13, it tells us that even though we may be unfaithful, God is still faithful because He cannot deny His own self. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, He tells us that God cannot lie. In James 1 and verse 13, it tells us that God cannot tempt man to do evil, and He cannot be tempted Himself to do evil. He is limited by His own nature, for our God is holy and will not do anything outside of His own nature. He's also limited by the absurd or self-contradictory. We always have folks who want to ask this question when you talk about the omnipotence of God. Can God make a rock so big that He can't move it? It is an absurd and it is a stupid question. And God is not going to be brought under the questions of man in that way. But you know, when I consider those limitations as we mention them, I would say that we are truly blessed because we consider the greatness of God, and we know that in His power, He will do all things perfectly and would never misuse the power that He has. We have a God full of power, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. He is great in power, but He will do according to His perfect will. You know, David writes to us in Psalm 139 and reminds us of a God full of awe. He is all-knowing. He is always present. He is full of power. You know, this world has a way of reminding us that we are in need of another. There are days in which we just realize that we don't know a thing. And we long for understanding. We long for wisdom. There are days when we feel awful much alone. And we just want to cry out for someone to be there with us and help carry us through. Our God is present with you and me. There are days that we are just utterly weak. We are weak physically. We are weak spiritually, emotionally, mentally. We're absolutely drained. There is nothing left. To whom will we look? We need to look to God. For He is omnipotent, full of power. And they that wait upon the Lord, their strength will be renewed. They'll mount up like an eagle. They'll run and they won't get weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. Because God is full of power. Where are you today? In need of wisdom? In need of comfort because you feel alone? In need of power and strength? There is a God who is full of all. The all fullness of our God. There is nothing He cannot do. There is no need He cannot meet. There is never a time when you will be alone. He is with you in all things. I reiterate what David says, such knowledge, it's too wonderful for us. Folks, you and I are so undeserving. But God in His love and His mercy and His grace has condescended to men of lower estate, and He has come and revealed to us that He is a God full of everything, full of all. And we ought to be looking to Him. We need to be dependent on Him. And I trust this morning that our eyes would be forever fixed on our God, omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Let's pray together as we close. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning that we can come and consider again the truth concerning our God. We thank you that he is a God full of all. He's full of all knowledge. He is full of all power. He is always present with us. We are never alone. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, we can be content in whatsoever state we find ourselves in. Father, I trust and pray today that as we have come through this passage, we would truly believe, even as we started this morning's message, that when we come and find ourselves to have only the possession of God, that then we find that we have more than enough, for God is more than enough. And Lord, I pray that our focus would be on Him, that we would see Jesus Christ in Him only, that He would be the focus of every thought and every action. In times of need, that we return unto Him first and wait upon the Lord. For He is a God great in faithfulness. Oh, Father, how we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and love. We thank you that you have revealed to us these truths from the Word of Truth. Father, may we not only hear it today, but may we now apply it to our lives and build wisely. We'll thank you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning.